Psalm 119, go ahead with me in your Bibles. My typical prep time was cut into a little bit this morning when Pastor told me he's not here today because he's sick. And so then I began scrambling for a morning message. So I do apologize. But hopefully it's not too confusing today. Psalm 119, this is kind of the verse that we're associating with this part of our series on how to read the Bible, discovering the value of the treasure that we have in our hand. And these are things that hopefully will translate and help you in your own Bible reading at home as you have right now. Maybe you are going through the book of Proverbs with the youth group. I hope that you are. And as you read the Word of God, hopefully you will, some of these things, these concepts that we're talking about, will affect the way that you see and the way that you study and the way that you read the Bible. And so that's the point of it all. But Psalm 119 and verse 18 says this, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." So we're asking ourselves the question of, you know, what do I see? And we started this last week. And we sort of closed our introductory thoughts to the series, which in large part had to do with what are the biggest roadblocks, number one, to people reading the Bible. We discovered a number of things that people raise whenever we talk about, well, my Bible reading, how faithful I am or how maybe not faithful I am, unfaithful I am. And, you know, sometimes it has to do with the priorities. Sometimes it has to do with the value I see in this book. Sometimes it has to do with questions that I have and maybe a lack of confidence in regards to this book. Sometimes I think that, well, you know, how relevant is it to the day and age we're living in? And so we tried to answer some of those questions and at least broach the issue of, hey, what are some of the resistances people have towards the book? And then we kind of turned the corner and we talked about, okay, how does this book benefit me as a believer? And so we listed, you know, 5-6 things that related to that. And now that we've laid the foundation, and hopefully you're at a point where you say, okay, hey, I see the value of God's Word. I see what can happen when I give myself to it. And then really, it has the next steps are just simply to read it and do your best to understand it. And that's where how to read comes into play. And so we talked about last week, taking this first step of observing. And we really made the point that, you know, observing something is different than just seeing something, and how different the two approaches can sometimes be. Let me roll out our notes here just for a second. You may remember our opening illustration to this. We talked about the professor who was in the classroom. He gave his class some type of fish. He put it in front of them. Everybody had the same type of thing. And he simply said, "I want you to observe." They took the whole class period to do so. And some thought it was a little boring and thought, well, okay, you know what, I'll write a few things down. He came in the next day or the next time the class met and he said, "I want you to do the same thing again." And people started, okay, wait a second, we already did this project. He said, but you've only begun to observe. And he did so for about, you know, 4 or 5 class periods. And finally, they began to talk about the depth of the observation that had taken place and the level of observation that they were able to achieve after several classes was far more advanced than where they were just in the first 35-minute session. So you can see things, but not really observe things. And I wonder how many this morning, when you came in, you were at the carpet ball table, I wonder how many of you took the time to observe the objects that were on the screen. I wonder, is there anybody that can give me, there were like 9 or 10 things in a box. Can anybody, one person, give me all of those things? Anybody give me all of those things? It was up there for a while. You didn't take that much interest in it? I don't understand. Anybody want to try?
I see Matthew, you want to try? How many think you can give? Three? Okay. All right, Brother Nathan, you have that picture back there. Don't flash it yet, but I want, do you have it at a place where you can see? All right, Matthew, why don't you go ahead and give us three things that you saw this morning? Lip flops. What else? Sun. A beach ball. Okay, we got. All right, let's see if we can get some more input and get all of these. Yes. Ice cream cone and a popsicle. Okay, we got that. What else? Some sunglasses. All right, it took yours. Anybody else? Yeah, Nico? A pail or a bucket? Yeah, we'll give that to you. Okay. All right, Jaden? A palm tree? Sorry. Must have been your dreams last night. Yes. An umbrella? Sorry. All right, Brother Nathan, what do we got left? What have we not said?
Dolphin.
Mm.
Flamingo floaty.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, so you get the point, right? I mean, you came in, obviously it wasn't a high priority to sit in your seat and memorize all of those things. You didn't know what I would be doing. But some of you took in a little bit more information than others. Who would say, Brother Scott, I didn't even notice that there was something on the screen this morning like that? Okay. All right. Thanks for being honest. I appreciate that. Okay. But you get the idea. Simply just seeing something or observing something is completely different. We could even say studying. So often I have to catch myself when I'm reading the Bible. I just simply see it. I'm seeing it. And my mind, it has slowly shifted somewhere else. And I have to bring myself back and say, wait a second, this is personal. This is God speaking to me. And whenever we think about it that way, we move from simply the idea of, okay, my dad said I should read this. My mom said it's important for me to read the Bible. Okay, I'm going to see these words and then I'm going to submit my impact points at the group time on Wednesday, okay? We want to move away from that. And we want to get to the point where when we read the Bible, we're doing more than just seeing it. We're taking great interest and we're wanting to get more. We're wanting to observe more. There are a number of things that we see and we fail to observe. I wonder how many of us could, you know, say the outfits that our parents wore last Sunday when they went to church. You know, I wonder how many of us could, you know, even get close to the color. Now, did you see them? Yeah, you saw them, but you didn't really observe and take in. Certainly for us guys, we typically we're not thinking about clothes too often, but you get the idea. There are things that we take interest in. We tend to observe those things. There are other things that we do not, and we simply end up seeing those things. So we made the point. So let's take that thought and go a little further here. Go with me to Acts, the book of Acts, and we're gonna do a little bit of an exercise here together, in which we together observe some scripture. Acts chapter 1. And I want us to go here, take some finer details about this verse here in particular, and simply walk through some concepts of how we can observe. Now, I want everybody to see this. Brother Nathan, can you get some Bibles going here this morning? I think there's some that don't have Bibles that would defeat the purpose of us looking at this together this morning. So, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8.
All right, I think we're good to go. What does the Bible say? Okay, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. I've got a cord problem here. Forgive me. Let me get this figured out. Who's laughing? Somebody's laughing. All right. Actually, it's Brother Chase. But who's keeping track? All right. Acts 1:8. This familiar verse. Okay. Most of us, I think, have heard this verse. I've preached on this verse. Maybe you've even memorized this verse for Awana or for school or something like that. But the first thing that we should notice when we come to a verse like this is we should immediately think about the terms, important terms. When we read the Bible, learn to have an eye for specific terms, terms that may arise in a verse, things that you can lock in on and begin asking some questions about. Now, let's take Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, give you a second to look at it, but what is one of the most important words that we come to in this verse? Now, there are quite a few important words, but which one's the first important one that we come to? Acts 1 and verse 8. Somebody take a stab at it. Yes. Power? Okay. That's an important one. Okay, but not the first one. Yes. Again, important, but not the first. Allison? Receive? Important, but not the first. Manual? No. You're getting closer. Yes. Yo, he got it. But. All right. Now, what is but? Okay. What is that? Grammatically speaking, it is a
conjunction.
Good job, Josiah. Learned some things in English class. I'm proud of you. Okay. All right. It's a conjunction. All right. And what does a conjunction do? Okay. Yes. Boy, taken right out of the book. That's excellent. Okay. So this word is important because it's revealing that this verse is tied to another thought. Okay. So if I want to get the full scope of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, what do I need to do? What do I need? Yes. Read the verses before. Yeah, absolutely. It's the word but here is pointing me back to another thought. Okay, so we're identifying terms. Okay, we've only gotten the first word, and already we're being told there's more to know about this. So let's go back. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. What does the Bible tell us here? It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. And then it goes, but ye shall receive power. Okay, so this is the real struggle with doing your devotions by inspiration, okay, where you take the Bible and you say, really only have a minute or two. Okay, you know, and then you go on your merry day, right? There's the danger because you're getting things that you're not seeing the full picture, you're not getting the big concept. And a lot of bad application has been made
And frankly, a lot of theological error has been made when we try to study or read the Bible that way. So, very first word here is pointing back to some things that happened prior to verse 8 that are really important when it comes to interpreting verse 8. So, important terms, it shows us here in verse 1 sort of the direction of the book and what's happening. Of course, we know that Luke was the writer of Acts. Luke had his own gospel as well, and this is sort of the continued version of the book of Luke as it goes into the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, so we see there's a lot going on here even before we get to verse 8, and so we should look for words that contrast or that point us back to something else. So let's keep going, though. Because we mentioned here in verse 6, or we saw in verse 6, that verse 8 has a lot to do with a question that the disciples ask. Somebody look at verse 6 and tell me what question here is being posed to Jesus. What is it exactly? Yeah, Trinity? Yeah. Yeah, this has a lot to do with the kingdom, bringing in the kingdom of the Lord. And the disciples still were not quite sure at this point what happens next. Okay, Lord, you know, when you died and we didn't know what was going on and then you're alive again and you're here, does that mean you're going to take the throne in Jerusalem and you're going to set up your kingdom and you're going to rule and reign? Is that what's happening next? And Jesus says, hold it. No. That's not what's going on. Let me tell you what is going on. It's not this, but it is this. And so verse 8 here really has a lot to do with things that have been said already. But nonetheless, he points to the future here and he gives some important information. So, as we examine Scripture, we ought to, number one, we ought to look for important terms. Look for important terms. Number two, we should also ask a question of who are the people involved, right? So, as we look at verse 8 again, there are people mentioned. Okay, he says, but ye. Now, what's the ye? Who is ye here? But ye. Who is Jesus speaking to? Okay. Somebody who hasn't answered a question yet this morning. Who is the ye in verse 8? Yeah, Matthew?
The disciples.
Yes, the disciples. Okay, so let's talk about that. All right, if I'm going to understand what this verse is communicating to me personally, I need to know something about the people in it, right? So give me some things about the disciples. That we know. Yes. Okay, they were followers of Jesus. Yes. Most of them were fishermen. Uh-huh. Yep. Yes.
They didn't really understand the purpose, Jesus' true purpose on the earth until really after his ascension.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't quite grasp everything about the things that he told them. Something else about the disciples. We exhausted it. How long were the disciples with Jesus? Emmanuel? How many?
3.5 years.
Yeah, I thought you said 20 and a half there for a second. I said, oh my goodness. Emmanuel. Three and a half years. So, again, they traveled everywhere with Christ. They were with him. We understand what he was doing with them. He was teaching them, right? That's the idea of a disciple, someone who's a learner. He was their teacher. They saw him do miracles. He sent them out. He's training them for something in the future. Okay, now they may not have realized it at the time, but he was preparing them for things that were going to happen later on. Now, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is about the future. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he is going to tell them things that pertain to the future. And we could stop right here and make application to us. How could we make application to ourselves? Simply based on that information alone. I need to ask the question again. How many of you just woke up when I asked you the question? Well, was the brother Scott? I'm here. Let me ask it again. Just based on what we know about the people who followed Jesus, right? The disciples, who they were, his relationship to them, okay? And the fact that he had a plan for them, which is wrapped up in verse 8, okay? Well, how can we make application to ourselves in this way, in any way, when we read this? Yes, a brave soul. Thank you. Yes, go ahead. Yes, thank you. How many of you were thinking that? You were thinking that? Anybody? Okay, you're like, yeah, that's me. Okay, yeah. He has a plan for us. Now, are we disciples? No, hold on now. What's a disciple? As a follower of Jesus. I didn't say apostle. Okay, apostle means you've seen Jesus. None of y'all have done that. All right? I don't care what you think. Okay? Jesus didn't come and sit at the edge of your bed. Okay? That hasn't happened. All right? And it won't happen. Sorry. But that's an apostle. Someone who visibly saw Jesus and was commissioned by him. Okay? A disciple, though, is simply someone who follows Jesus. Something we are, hopefully, everyone in this room this morning would say, yeah, that's me. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Okay, I want to learn. I want to grow. I'm following him. My eyes are on him. That's an important thing. But the fact that he has a future for this group of people. Hey, listen, disciples. Listen, you know what? You've been with me 3.5 years. You know, I know you've got a lot of questions. And I'm getting ready to go to the Father. But I'm going to give you someone who's going to be almost as if I was right there with you, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to guide you into what comes next. Okay? What a beautiful promise. And you know what? That's a promise that's been given to every Christian. To every Christian who accepted the Lord, God has given us the Holy Spirit of God that helps us in regards to the future. Guides us into all truth. Hey, God has a general will for our lives, but he also has a specific will for every single person in this room. God cares about your future. And he loves you just like he loved the disciples and cared for them. He had a plan for the disciples going forward. He has a plan for us going forward. Boy, we are only a few words in. And already, boy, God begins to encourage our heart, right? And that's the beauty of being able to do more than just see the Word of God, but to truly stop and observe it. Lord, who are the people in this verse? And Lord, what are the terms here? Well, it's pointing me back to something. Let me see what that verse says. And Lord, how does this apply to where I'm at? Boy, oh, that's a special moment. Lord begins to encourage our own hearts. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can do more than simply just aimlessly read words on a page. Lord, there is no other book, Lord, with the power and supernatural ability attached to it, like the Bible. And Lord, I pray that for every teenager in this room, for every youth worker, myself included, Lord, that this week, Lord, that you would help us to observe, Lord, to take in, to ask questions, Lord, not rely on someone else or something else, but Lord, to just get alone with you for the work of your Spirit. May you speak to us. Lord, we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.